If you're planning on custom apparel for your team or event, think createmyt.com. You can do your entire order online with Create My Tee. If you're worried about your turnaround and when your order will arrive, no worries. All orders will arrive within 7 business days upon approval of your design. Better yet, your shipping is free. Our radio station, My102.7, has used createmyt.com for its custom apparel. createmyt.com.
A magical mix of fantasy and reality. A Disney-like story almost too good to be true. Lightning in a bottle. A philosopher coach equally adept at building men and teams, and ultimately, communities. A little more than 24 guys, well, boys, farm boys, and blue-collar kids who learned that just a smidge of talent, a little luck, hard work, and stubborn pride, and a lot of make it happen. And when you combine it all together, become warriors. Battle-tested and true across 17 days.
Joining us today, Steve Warden, our friend from the New Sentinel and Journal Gazette. Steve, it's always so good to talk to you because I always appreciated, and for lack of a better word, the humanity, the humility, the ability to see the bigger picture and to not get caught up in the idea that, you know, the game is more than it is. In fact, you see what a lot of people don't see what it is. So it's good to talk to you.
Oh, always great to talk with you and catch up on, on everything. Gosh, it's, we've known each other for, well, almost 22 years, something like that.
More than that.
We bump into each other along the way. And we do share, our appreciation for Woodland football and also how much we both admired Leland Etzler. And you know, it's Leland, I guess if someone would ask me about Leland, they have in the past, and I would always frame it this way, that Leland was a gentleman, one word, but a gentleman, two words. And I know this sounds funny, and I don't even know if we've talked about this, Dean, but Leland, you know those old films or old clips of Connie Mack, the Philadelphia manager, sitting in his dugout in a suit with his legs crossed, and he'd be waving players into position. And I think we've all seen that one time or another. You know, I think if Leland would have been a baseball manager, he would have been like that, because nothing seemed to rattle him too much. And there was that gentlemanly quality that Leland had that somehow or another, in my warped sense of humor or whatever, that I see in those clips of Connie Mack. I don't know if you can relate to that or not, but...
No, absolutely, I can.
He was very soft spoken, but I would imagine that, you know, and again, this is, I'm looking at it through the prism of the writer, because I covered so many of his games and we've had so many conversations. But he was very soft spoken, but you knew that if he raised his voice to his kids, they had better listen. And he didn't swear at them or anything like that, but they knew when their coach said something, it was to be heeded in a hurry.
Do you remember your first time meeting, covering Woodland?
Yeah, well, not covering Woodland, but the first time I ever met Leland. And I think that I think I mentioned this during the funeral, is that I was a pretty young writer for the Journal Gazette at the time, and we used to cover the Indiana University and Purdue University. They would take separate days of having the football IU Alumni Club and the Purdue Alumni Club, and I think it was the Purdue Alumni outing I was covering, and this was probably in the very early 70s, maybe even 1969 or early 70s. And it was held at the Gas House downtown, up where Taka Oka is now. And the alumni associations would all meet, and they'd all and a representative from Purdue would come down with the previous weekend's film of the football game, and they would show that, and he would be somewhat of a guest speaker, and but they would also invite a local football team, usually the seniors. Well, that particular afternoon, Woodland came. I remember that, and each coach, and I had covered enough of these, each coach would stand up and talk about the season. If it was at the start of the season, they'd talk about what kind of team they expected to have. And if it was in the middle of the season, they talked about what kind of year they're having. And well, it was Woodland, and so Leland, you know, just kind of stood up and talked a little about his team. And the first thing that he said, he says, "We're small, but we're slow." And no one had ever heard that at all. And he brought the house down with it. But that was Leland's style. It was very self-deprecating, not for himself, but also his players. And he didn't want anyone to get a big head, but that was the first time. And then that we became friends quite a bit. I think you know that my daughter used to work at his dairy suite because Leland had the dairy suite out there. And oh gosh, Leland and I just would run into each other occasionally when I used to live in Woodburn, and he'd talk about going to the Liar's Table at Bob's restaurant, and every once in a while I'd join him, and we had a wonderful friendship. And well, you know that I've been around for a long time, and I wrote for 51 years, and without question, one of the great honors of my career was when Leland called one day and asked if I would be willing to come out to his house. He's going to retire, and he wanted me to write his retirement story.
That's awesome.
So I remember going out there, and we sat, and I had my tape recorder, and we were just talking about life, and we didn't necessarily talk about wins and losses. We talked about what he got out of coaching and what he hoped the kids got from him. And I distinctly remember both of us sitting at his table, and the conversation got to the point where both of us were crying because I loved the man and he loved the game so much. And there was a wonderful mutual respect that I think we both had. It's too bad that kind of relationship between journalists and coaches no longer exists or rarely exists.
He had a different style with most journalists. And I don't want to even say it was adversarial, because it wasn't. But he challenged me, and I was a student of his. He challenged me that not just to throw a question out there. I had to have good questions. So it was adversarial in the sense of he wasn't going to just take a question. He made sure you knew what he, or at least he did it for me. He made sure he wanted me to know the question I was asking when I would ask him. And I would say something like, "Well, coach, what was the key tonight?" And he would say, "Well, we scored more points." And I'm just like, wow, I'm really that dumb. And it wasn't because he was trying to make fun of me. He wanted me to ask the right question. And he answered the question the way that I ask it.
Well, yeah, I think you had to go in with, he wanted you, and I think he wanted all journalists, and everyone I've known to ever interviewed him, you know, Kerry Hubbard and all the others, and Ben Smith and so many others, he expected all of us to go in with some knowledge of him and his team. And I think he wanted us prepared the way he always wanted his team to be prepared.
That's a fantastic.
And that was the amazing thing that with the Woodland football program. See, I don't remember one game from the next to the next to the next. I don't know how many Woodland games that I covered, but I do remember whenever I went out to cover a Woodland game, and most of the times It was there in Woodburn. The whole place had a unique feel. There truly was, and I don't know if it still exists. There truly was a community feel. Maybe it's because I was part of that community for a while that I knew so many faces in the stands, and I knew how great the Lions Club donuts were, and Ken Canablo doing the play-by-play. But there was a tremendous community feel out there, and you would get that. His teams were as steady as a metronome, and I remember talking with Rick Minnick, the great coach from Adams Central, and Rick would occasionally talk about Woodland football, and Rick would say, you know, he says, Leland only runs about 7 or 8 plays. He says, and, you know, they could basically tell you what they're running. He says, the trick was to stop it. And he says, those kids were so well schooled and well coached and so disciplined that it was hard just to stop them. And you knew what play they were running. And he says, but of course, Leland ran variations of all the sets. But he says, you know, you had an idea what play they were running, but trying to stop it was something else. And Rick had just so much respect for Leland. And in fact, I think it was Rick who also said it was Leland Etzler who really made the ACAC better. Because for a while, Adams Central was not that great. If you are Leo or you are Cherubusco or you are Heritage, or any of the other teams in the ACAC, you had better improve or you would fall by the wayside. And I think he made every program better, and I think he made every coach better. And, you know, I'm not saying a legacy, but to me, that's the Leland impact that I think that still exists today in football.
And I don't think we talk about that as much. We know the players. We know the players who became coaches. We know what happened in the community. Plato referred to a concept as a philosophy.
Attention homeowners, spending more time around your house means you're putting more stress on major appliances that keep your home running. Like many Americans, a major breakdown could be very costly during these uncertain times. AC unit goes, that's $4,500. Water heater breaks, $1,500. When you own a home, it's always something. If you have a home warranty, those repairs could cost you nothing. A Home Service Club warranty pays for the repair or replacement of your home appliances and systems when they break down, even from normal wear and tear. For about $1 a day, you can cover your home appliances and systems. It's not a question of if they'll break down, it's when. If you call now, you'll get your first month free and $75 off your first year. Make home appliance repairs one less thing to worry about. Call 800-248-3508 now for your free quote, free first month, and $75 off your first year. 800-248-3508 now. That's 800-248-3508. Again, 800-248-3508.
For King, and I have said a few times that I really believe that Leland Etzler was a philosopher football coach. And I'm not saying that even just to be cute or trendy. I think he was.
Oh, I think so, yeah. Leland, I remember in our conversation, he was bitterly, we all know that he was from Monroeville. He was bitterly disappointed that he did not get to be a basketball coach. He saw himself as a basketball coach for the rest of his life. And he really wanted a job coaching basketball. Well, when he didn't get it at Woodland, they said, hey, we have a football program. Would you be interested in that? Well, Leland didn't play football. But he attended clinics and he talked to people and he took notes and he went to camps. And I think he incorporated, you know, we all know that Leland was very, very, very intelligent. And what he would do is uh, he I think he incorporated the intelligence of that philosopher that you're talking about with the X's and O's that he learned along the way. And voila, all of a sudden, Woodland became, in just a matter of a couple of years, a football dynasty. And they were, they were certainly a team to contend with. And had we had class football back then, Woodland would have won some.
When you were around Leland Edsler, did you feel like you were smarter? That you got smarter because of him?
Oh, yeah. I don't know about getting smarter. I felt as though that I had to be a grown up. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, gosh, I wish I could be as good as this guy. And I think that's how I always felt, is that he's such a good man, such an intelligent man, and he had a wonderful sense of humor. But you had to understand the sense of humor, and
right.
it was a dry sense of humor. Yeah, Leland was not a slapstick tell a joke kind of guy. If you had to pay attention to his humor, but at the same time you just admired the guy so much. And when you're around someone who is that smart and that nice and that kind and that aware of who he is, you've got to admire that.
It was almost like when you were around him, you sucked in your gut a little bit. You stood up straighter. You put your chin out. You had better posture. That was my experience around Leland Edsler.
Well, yeah, I think so. And you know what? I think that was what he expected of his football teams. And it was amazing. I didn't know all of his family that well. Certainly I knew Gale, and I didn't know Lynn or Zach that well, but I got to know Lee fairly well because Lee was in the, gosh, I think I coached against Lee in the Woodburn Park Little League, where they had the pitching machine, and Lee was on, and my sons were on one team and Lee was on another. And so I got to know him and watched him grow up, and he was in the same grade as my oldest son. But I got to know Lee even more when he coached at Cherubusco. And I would interview Lee after some games, and there was so much of Leland that I saw in Lee, and just that he was very matter of fact, and you could tell that he weighed his words and didn't want to offend anyone and didn't speak badly of his kids. And if the other team played well, he was always the first to admit that. Again, I didn't know the other kids that well, but I would suspect that they acquired the same class that Lee has. And I guess you take a look at the class system. Well, they were Class A in 1981. And if anything, that thing that personifies Leland Edsler and Woodland, it was Class A, certainly.
Absolutely. When you would talk with Lee, you would find yourself looking at just the mannerisms. You would look and see the pacing, and you would hear how he talked. And there were moments when you would have to pinch yourself. And I'm not exaggerating. You'd think, oh, my gosh, I'm talking to his dad. I'm talking to Leland.
Yeah, very much the same. Very much the same.
And then you get to a game. And we were at a game once. I think it was Angola. And you hear on Wisconsin. And you looked at me and we both smirked. And and you said to me, does this bring back any memories for you? And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then I'm preparing for 3 yards in a cloud of dust and, you know, the run game to be exploited to extraordinary levels with Lee. And it was just a fun night with you when we watched Lee's team play Angola years ago. Just, I can't even put it into words.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's you know, we, and I kind of like was thinking of this, you know, long ago that you know, there's that football field that's tucked between Highway 24 and some cornfield, and with Essler Field on it. And I, as you well know, we drove by it during the funeral procession, which I thought was a tremendous tribute. But what's unfortunate, Dean, and I'm sure you'll agree that 20-25 years from now, it will be a name on a field, and you have to wonder if the kids back then will know of the history of Leland Essler, and let's hope so. And maybe that's where we maintain the hope of Woodland still maintaining that community atmosphere, and that the generational appreciation of Leland Essler. Didn't I read somewhere that there was something like 82, 83 father son combinations played for Leland, and I
am not surprised.
And hopefully that you know, grandkids will still be playing, and that their father's father will tell them of the style of Leland Essler, and you know, even down to the uniforms, and you know this as well. They were very, I guess you would be plain, that Woodland's uniforms were never flashy, and in so many ways that was comparable to the coach himself. Leland was not flashy, but he got the job done, and I always loved how he talked about how he told the kids that they would put on their pretties for Friday night. And I thought, Leland, I said, those things are not pretty. He says, well, to us they are.
And you know, you could look at Penn State and you'd say, look at Penn State, look at how glamorous they are. That's how Woodland's uniforms were in comparison. I mean, they were the same concept, but.
Oh yeah, very much so, very much so. But no, he's been gone for about a year and a half, I guess. And you still appreciate people like Leland Essler, and you hope that there are coaches and people still out there. And I'm sure there are. But we both know that there's only going to be one Leland Essler.
Absolutely. I had the privilege of course, sharing the stage with you that day and rode in your vehicle to the cemetery in the procession. And as we drove through the parking lot, as we pulled into Woodland High School, I had the feeling for just a fraction of a second, this was kind of like in the old days with Lincoln's funeral train that traveled across the country and people would come out to see it. And for just a few minutes, we drove through that parking lot, and I'm getting emotional thinking about it. And there were a handful of kids that came out on that landing, that area right by the old gymnasium.
Mm-hmm, sure.
There were about six kids that looked out, and I don't think those kids had any idea what was going on, but they still came out.
Oh, no. No. What a wonderful tribute to do that. I guess, and then maybe to wrap things up, how lucky we were to have known him, and conversely, how lucky we were that he knew us.
Right.
Because, you know, when someone of that magnitude calls you by name, you do suck in your gut a little more, and you do walk a little taller, and you do feel a little better about yourself.
We're talking with Steve Warden, New Sentinel, Journal Gazette sports writer, friend of Leland Essler. My friend, Steve, one last question.
Sure.
When Leland Essler smiled and when he laughed, it was as if the world was right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's he has such a serious nature on the football field. And we talk a little bit about this that. Yeah. But when he laughed, it was a chuckle that I don't want to get too philosophical or too romantic, but it was music and comparable to On Wisconsin, but yeah, he was a very, 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 very warm, genuine, humble man, and I'm thrilled that I was able to know him. I was thrilled to be able to go into his house and talk to him, and as I said, we spent a couple hours, and I got a call from him after the story came out, and he told me how much he appreciated it. And yeah, you know that means a whole lot to all of us who know him.
Steve, thank you for joining me. This means so much to me. Your friendship means so much to me, and I hope as the people listen to this who may not have ever even known him, who knows how long this will continue. But I want people just to get a feel for his essence of just what a simple man, how one person can impact an entire community for generations to come. And that's not an exaggeration.
No. And there's a difference between a legacy and a legend. Leland never wanted to be called a legend. That Leland did want to leave a legacy, and that's what he has left.
And legends are largely filled with stories that aren't true, that have become true over the years in our minds, and that wasn't Leland Edsler.
No,
he was our friend,
no.
And he was with us, and we got a chance to experience it. Steve, thank you again for joining me.
Glad to do it, Dino. Always a pleasure.
Steve Wharton, Fort Wayne sports writer, a friend, and maybe on the down low, a Woodburn resident. This is 17 Days in November.
If you're planning on custom apparel for your team or event, think createmyt.com. You can do your entire order online with CreateMyT. Ordering is as easy as 1, 2, 3. The website offers simple tools to start an order and tweak your design. Each customer works directly with a project manager who is just an email or phone call away. Our radio station, My 102.7, has used CreateMyT for custom apparel. createmyt.com.